Mark chapter 1, we're looking at verses 14 through 20 today. And I want to remind you guys, or see if you remember, being a kid, some of you probably remember this better than others, because some of you are closer to this age than I am. Do you remember when you were a kid in the gym, and the teacher said, everybody line up against the wall, and the two captains got to pick teams for maybe dodgeball? Do you remember that? Do you remember? It's always exciting. It's like, oh, pick me, right? You know, and the funny thing is, if it was about basketball or if it was about volleyball, they would always pick me. But you talk to my wife, I can't jump 6 inches. I was the worst basketball player. I was the worst volleyball player, so height didn't matter. But we all wanted to be picked. We wanted to be chosen. None of us wanted to be that last person standing there going, does anybody want me? Does anybody want me to be on their team? And that's the reality, is we all want to be needed. We all want to be included. We all want to be chosen. And as Christians, the beautiful thing is, we've all been chosen. God himself has chosen all of us to be on his team, to be in his family. And in fact, Ephesians, Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk with him, or walk in them. It's like God has chosen us as believers to not only be his on his team, but to be molded and shaped for his purposes. We're a part of the family of God. You are a part. If you believe here today in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are in the family of God, and there's a plan and a purpose for your life. You've been chosen for a reason. Only you can do what you can do in the circle of influence that you have. In your family, in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood, you might be that only person. You might be that parent that's going to speak to your child, that child's going to go off and be something great in this world. So there's always a purpose for our lives. God picked you to be on his team. And that's what we're seeing in Mark chapter 1. Jesus is picking his team. He's picking and choosing his apostles to be a part of his team of 12 men that are going to go forth and spread the gospel. And Mark has a very interesting perspective on how Jesus does this. We only look at two sets of two brothers that Mark refers to. Obviously, Jesus picks 12, but we're only going to look at these four individuals. And when we see this picture, it's very brief, as we know Mark is very brief with these things. There's two things I see. There are casters and there are menders. There are casters and there are menders. These are fishermen, and this is what they've been doing their entire life. And Jesus, walking along the Sea of Galilee, sees these two brothers, calls them to follow him, and I believe these casters and these menders are something specific that Jesus is looking for, the qualities in people to follow him. And so let's look at it, will we? Mark chapter 1, verse 14, we read, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Give me your attention. Very brief. Again, Mark just kind of hits the highlights. He just kind of gets the point across and goes down the list of what's happening. The first thing we see is Jesus has now returned to Galilee. He's gone back to that area. It's a beautiful area. He's going to walk around. Most of his ministry is done around the Sea of Galilee. In fact, Capernaum, where he spends most of his time, he does the majority of his miracles there. He started in Nazareth. I have a map here. I just like to visualize things. So his journey started in Nazareth. He comes down the Jordan to Bethany, where he gets baptized by John the Baptist. He gets pushed into the wilderness where he's tempted by the devil for 40 days, and then he makes his way all the way back to Galilee. And so that's where Jesus is now at. He's back in Galilee. Notice Mark reminds us in verse 14. Now after John was put in prison, After John gets put in prison, Jesus leaves. It's like, can you imagine? If I'm in prison, I'm like, Jesus, could you help me get out of here? I mean, I'm your forerunner, right? I'm a pretty important guy. But it's interesting, John has his specific purpose. King Herod loved to have conversations with John the Baptist, but then John the Baptist started challenging King Herod about the sin that was in his life. King Herod says, in prison you go. So much for speaking the truth, right? The results that we get. So he's traveling, and he's now in this Galilee area. And he has a message. He says in verse 15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. I couldn't get away from this statement that Jesus has. The time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. In history, at this very point, Jesus is saying the Old Testament is complete. The old covenant is gone. Jesus is now starting his ministry. He is starting to spread the gospel, and this is the point that the time was set for God to bring Jesus into the world. And Jesus says, now is the time. Now I'm going to begin to pick my 12 men that are going to bring the gospel forward. And as I started thinking about the timing of God, have you ever found God to always be on time? Have you ever found him in your life? Maybe it seems like it takes him a long time to do something, but when he finally does it, the timing is right. The timing is perfect. His way is perfect. We must understand that Jesus is coming at the right time. He always comes at the right time for us in our lives. It may seem like it takes too long. We might see years before we get the answer that we want, but that's just so that God will receive the greatest amount of glory. When we think about Jesus hearing about his friend Lazarus who is sick, he waits 3 days before he, 2 or 3 days before he comes back, and now Lazarus is dead. Why? So that God can get the greatest amount of glory by raising him from the dead. But guys, God's timing is perfect, and the time set right now for Jesus is, I'm starting my ministry, I'm going to pick people to follow after me. And it made me think of how important it is for each and every one of us in this room to remember when Jesus picked us. To remember when you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, I know some of you in here probably have been believers since the day you were born. You don't even remember ever having that experience of receiving Christ. But for most everyone else of us in this room, there was a point in history where we said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to accept you. I want you to work in my life. And do you remember that moment? It's a time in history when the time for you to get saved, the time for you to be called into God's family began. Guys, we can never forget the importance of that moment. The importance of that moment. For me, it was an Easter Sunday service in sunny South Florida, in the Yankee Stadium, the training stadium. Thousands of people had showed up. It was a beautiful day in South Florida, and I was there because a friend invited me. But to be honest with you, I didn't believe in God. I just figured you were born, you lived, you died, and it was over. That's it. So I'm sitting in the stadium. It's a Sunday morning. I'm just thinking, man, I can't wait till this guy's done so that we can go have breakfast and we can go have some fun with our friends and family. And as that pastor was speaking, and he began to speak about a God-shaped hole in my heart that God wanted to abide in, that's when God began to prepare my heart. That's when God began to reveal himself to me, because I had always been that person. I don't believe in God, but it doesn't seem like there is any real purpose to life. We live, we die, that's it. What's the point? And here Jesus was presented to me, and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, and I will never forget that day to the day I die, the day that I accepted Christ. I didn't know all the theology. I didn't know all the, what Jesus really had done for me. I didn't even realize he had wiped away all my sins at that moment. All I knew was that I needed Jesus in my heart to meet that need that I had deep down. It's important for us to remember where in our lives Jesus has had an encounter with us. Don't ever forget that, because it's those moments that help you get through the moments in life that are most difficult. Truly. I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know what you're coming up against, but I just want you to reflect on the goodness of God and his timing. And his timing. Because his timing is always perfect. Jesus starts his ministry here, and we need to remember that he's picking and choosing his people. I talked to you about casters and menders. We see these two brothers that he picks, both a caster and a mender. As he's walking around the Sea of Galilee, he sees these guys. Listen, doing what they've been doing every single day of their lives. Nothing changed. A day like any other day, and Jesus is walking the Sea of Galilee, and he sees them. It was their time to be called. You need to understand that they were doing what they normally did, but they didn't realize that this would be a day that would change their life forever. At this very moment, Jesus was going to call to them, and it would change the path of their existence. We don't know, not one of us in this room, knows when God's not going to change the path of our existence. When God's not going to speak to your heart and say, I've called you to this, or I want you to do this, or here's an opportunity for you. The question we must answer, are you ready to answer that call at any moment? If today was the day that Jesus said, I want you to do this, would you be able to say, immediately I follow Jesus? Or would there be a list of excuses? Would there be a list of stipulations? Oh, Lord, I just don't have time, or I don't have the resources, or I don't have the, you don't understand, Lord, the things I'm going through. Are we ready to respond to what Jesus calls us to do? I hope we are. See, because Jesus sees these two brothers as ones that are faithful in where they are right now. Faithful in where they are right now. And he speaks to them and says, follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. We don't know. If you've ever fished, and I don't know if I call myself a fisherman, I call myself a caster, because I usually just end up with the same worm I sent out there when I reel it back in. Pastor RLJ will confirm that. It takes patience. You have no idea. Is there a fish there? I don't know. You know? What's amazing to me is we get in boats and we cast towards the shore, and then there's fishermen on the shore that are casting out in the lake. It's like, well, where are the fish? You don't know where they are. You're taking a chance. And that's the reality. It's like, Lord, show us, teach us. Let us be ready. Let us be faithful where we at. A faithful fisherman just keeps casting until they catch a fish. We need to be faithful as to where we are in order for God to prepare us for where he wants us to be. And this is what I want you to see. Where is it? Be faithful? No, be faithful. Sorry. Be faithful where you are currently until Jesus takes you to where he wants you to be. Think about that a minute. Be faithful wherever you are currently until Jesus takes you where he wants you to be. We're human. We always want something. We always want to be in a different place. You know, we're in Music City, right? There's a lot of musicians in this town that want to do what? They want to be on the top. And they work, and they work, and they work. But the problem is sometimes we're not faithful where we are right now, waiting for God to open that opportunity. These guys were fishermen. We aren't even told that they may have been happy fishermen. Peter might be casting the net going, I hate this job. You know? John might be mending a net going, I wish my dad got into a different business. This is stinky. It's fish. Right? And it's like, but no, they were faithful in what they were doing. And I believe that that's what Jesus saw. See, I think sometimes we read the Gospels and we think Jesus is just walking along. Oh, there's a couple guys. Hey, why don't you guys follow me? No, I think he sees in them a work ethic. I think he sees a faithfulness, a commitment, a desire. And he sees Peter, Simon is Peter. I'm sorry, maybe I didn't mention that. Simon is Peter. It's Simon Peter. Simon why is the name leaving me? Andrew, thank you, God Lord. Simon and Andrew are out there casting their nets, being faithful fishermen, and Jesus sees this commitment every day, doing what they're doing. And he says, follow me. Guys, I think we need to be faithful in what we're doing, not being in that place of asking us, why am I in this place? Why are not things not happening for me? Being content exactly where you are. Remain faithful right where you are, because Jesus said this, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. If you can be faithful in the small things, then you're going to be faithful in the big things. We always think, well, I'll get there. You know, once I have everything, then I'll be more faithful. One of the biggest places I see this in the church is when it comes to financial giving. You know, if I made more money, I would be one that would give. If you're not a faithful giver when you don't have much, you won't be a faithful giver when you have a lot, because it's yours. It's still that same attitude. This is mine. until you think, no, be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in what God has shown you. Jesus sees right where you are today. He's watching you. Think about it. Maybe he's walking through your life just watching to see if you're going to continue to be faithful in the place that you are. If you're going to be faithful in that spot that he has you today and maybe ready to move you on later. These men were fishermen. We see a caster and we see a mender. And I want us to look at that. Simon and Andrew were casting their nets. And now, it's a small little detail that Mark gives to us, but I think it's huge because it really shows their attitude. If you think about and understand who Peter and Andrew were, I mean, these were men that were going to go out and get people. Peter preached a sermon that got 3,000 people got saved once. Andrew was that guy that said, I saw Jesus, now my brother needs to come. And he went and got his brother. It's this casting attitude. And the word casting means this. There it is. To offer, to sow, and to invest. To offer, to sow, and invest. Or to invest. And that's who Peter was. He was an investor. He's casting. He doesn't know where. He doesn't know if there's a fish there or not. He's just going to invest. He's going to cast and see what he gets. He's going to sow. He's going to be committed to what he's been called to do. Jesus saw these men's willingness to invest in the lives of others because they were faithful fishermen. Are you being faithful where you are today? Are you being faithful in that spot God has you? I can remember clear as day when I was working with a corporation in South Florida. And I was at a meeting, of all those meetings we have. And I remember writing on a pad, God, get me out of this place. I was a believer. I was a good worker. We worked long hours. I was faithful. But I just didn't have that contentment for the company anymore. I wanted to move on. I wanted to do my own thing. But I was too afraid. And I just wrote on that paper, God, take me from this place. In that moment, I just felt like God said, I can't move you until you're content with where I have you right now. And I've seen that happen in the lives of so many people around me. If they're just be faithful in the place that they are. See, because someone who isn't content where they are now, as soon as they move, oftentimes they're not content there either. God is trying to show us how to be content under the circumstances that we're in. It's up to him to move us. And once I had that contentment, once I said, God, I'll do this for the rest of my life, if that's what you want me to do, that's when the doors opened for me to move on. When God called me into the ministry, I had no clue he wanted me to be a pastor. I just wanted to serve the Lord. And when my wife and I were up here on a vacation, God spoke to me and just said, all right, I want you to be a pastor. I was like, are you crazy? Pick somebody else, Lord. No, he saw I was faithful in those small things. He felt I was faithful in the little things, and he gave me more. That's what God wants to do in and through our lives. Caster is one who goes out and gets what is needed to get the job done. That's what a caster does. One who tries different things to see what will work and what won't work. One who is not afraid to take a chance at something new. My wife is a caster. She is so gifted when it comes to vision casting and investing in people and directing people and showing things. And she's not afraid to try things that are new. In fact, God showed her an interesting thing. She wants to expand her building down in TriStar, but there's some restrictions that the city has on it. And she tried something new, and the city goes, this is a great idea. Nobody's ever done it before, ever tried it. It's like, how'd you get that idea? I don't know. She doesn't know. God gave it to her. God showed it to her. God revealed it to her. She's a caster. She tries things. Casters aren't perfect. Babe, are you perfect? No. Have you made any mistakes? Oh, Jenny, you want to say no? Jenny's looking for work, but anybody has anything for her? No, but casters try things, right? I mean, remember Peter was, they were out fishing all night, wasn't catching any fish, and Jesus on the shore cast your net on the other side of the boat. Any good fisherman knows under the boat's under the boat, whether you're on the left side or the right side. Jesus controls the outcome of our casting. Jesus controls the outcome of the things that we invest in. See, Peter and Andrew wanted to invest not only in fishing, they want to invest in people. And Jesus says, follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. I'll make you a caster. They were at the right place, listen, at the right time. That's what a caster does. They're at the right place at the right time and things happen. They don't wait for them to come to us. They go out and get them. Are you here today and you don't know what it is that God wants for you? Are you here and you just everything's fine in your life? Your marriage is good, your work is good, your family's good, but there's just this unsettledness maybe in your heart. There just seems like there should be something more, there should be something different. You know, maybe God is going to show you and reveal something to you. You got to be content in that place that you're at. When everything's good, I think we always worried, when's the rug going to get pulled out from under us? No, enjoy the season that it's good, and then allow the Lord work in your life. Be patient, be faithful. Remain faithful, and certainly, I say, take chances. Take chance. Try a new thing. Try a new hobby. Try a new something. I don't know. Pray about it. Do things. If it doesn't work, then it wasn't it. That's the beauty of being a caster, is someone who's just willing to try things and see what works. I like to say this. Put your faith out there and see what God will help you catch. If you're a caster, if you're that person that just sees things and takes care of things and fixes things. Conversely, we only have casters, but also we have menders. John and James were menders. They were the ones that were about the intimate, the one-on-one type of person. I care about you. I want to invest in you. If you read John's gospel, it's all about the love of Jesus. It's all about the love of God. And so John was always about love, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. It's about love. It's out that one-on-one. And that's what a mender does. They see and have a compassion for making things right. A mender doesn't mind doing the tedious, doesn't mind doing that task. If you give a mender a task, they're off and running and they're going to complete the task. I'm a mender. My wife's a caster. Seems that like we'd be at odds with each other, but we help each other out. I mend what she breaks. No, I'm just kidding. But a mender is in the nitty-gritty, and they're going to do it, and they're going to figure out. And a mender is also someone that sees a problem and goes and fixes a problem. See, a caster sees a problem, and then they empower other people to go fix it. Probably a mender. But it's like, as menders, we see a problem. So think about it. Is that who you are? Do you see situations at your workplace and go, I need to fix that? Or do you look at a situation and go, that's broke. Somebody needs to fix that. Are you that mender? Are you that person that's one-on-one? Listen, I love to sit one-on-one and have coffee with people and hear your stories. People say, don't you get tired of hearing everybody's problems? I don't. I've said it to you before. People's problems are God's opportunities. Your problems are God's opportunities to show himself to you. So I'm that person that will sit one-on-one and hear your story and talk to you and encourage you. And there's nothing more satisfying in my life than to be able to sit down with someone who has a spiritual issue and to be able to reveal to them through the scriptures what the answer is. I love that. My wife, on the other hand, will tell you to stop crying and get going. So if you need counseling, you better call me and stay away from my wife. That's just the reality. That's just the reality. A mender wants to see people restored. A mender wants to see someone restored. Are you that person? Are you that person that wants to see the best or sees the best in everyone? Hey, I'm pretty gullible sometimes. I see the best in everybody. I forget that I don't like people. My wife has to remind me, you don't like that person. Not kidding. I'm not kidding. It's a God-honest story. I came home and said, hey, I just talked to so-and-so. Don't you remember what they did to you? No, I didn't really remember that. Thanks, though. I remember now. I don't know what you are. God knows what you are. And God needs both casters and he needs menders in the body of Christ. He needs those that are willing to invest, to repair, to go out there and to do, and he needs those that are willing to restore and to sow and to make a difference. That's what Jesus sees in these two sets of brothers as he's walking through the Sea of Galilee. He's seeing a work ethic. He's seeing something that is of value. Guys, God values your life, even if you don't value it yourself. God sees value in your life. And just like we talked in Ephesians 2:10, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared beforehand that you might be able to accomplish them. He sees value in your life, and there's something about you that's different than other person, and he's going to use that if you allow him. You just got to be in that place to go, Jesus, if you call me, I'm ready to go. Notice both of these pairs of brothers, it says immediately they what? They left their nets or they left their father. Followers of Jesus Christ need to always be ready when we hear the call to go. There's nothing, in my opinion, there's nothing worse than hearing a call upon your life and you say, I'm not ready yet, Lord. I've said it to you before, when God calls you, that's when he wants you to go, at that very moment. He called these brothers and they immediately went after them. Jesus is looking for both and he's looking for you. When Jesus looks at you and sees your value, he looks into your life and sees something that he can work with, something he can do with. Every single one of you has value in your life. Don't forget that Jesus is still calling people today. And you may not think you have value, but Jesus sees value. And as I was studying this, I started thinking about the people that Jesus called. And you get all the way around to number 12, and then you think, Judas. Jesus called Judas. Some of us might go, why did he do that? Was that a mistake? I don't believe it was a mistake. I believe Jesus saw value in Judas, but Judas chose not to follow Jesus. He'd rather go for the gold than to follow Christ. And that's the reality for all of us. When Jesus looks into our life, sees value, he sees what we could be. He sees our potential. He sees what you could be and what you could grow into. And it's up to you to follow that call. Judas chose not to. But Jesus still called him because he saw value in him. So even the least in this world, Jesus sees value in. Because ultimately, it's Jesus working through you anyway, isn't it? If you're truly a follower of Christ, he's going to do it in you and through you. So just be willing to go. Jesus, his call, I love this. It's very simple. It's not pressured. It's not forced. It's very peaceable. It's very inviting. He says, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. I'm thinking these guys are going, we've making our life catching food, catching fish. And now Jesus wants us to catch people. What a greater value that is in this world, is to catch people for the kingdom of God. God takes our abilities and God takes your giftedness and he says, I'm going to use that. I'm going to make it even greater. It's going to have eternal value in your life. When God calls you, whether you're a caster or a mender, it's so that you're going to have eternal value at the end of your life. That's the beauty of it. They were just fishermen, but he made them fishers of men. Now, this wasn't the first time he saw these guys. Because I think sometimes we just, again, think he sees them and goes, oh, there's a couple guys, I'll just pick them. No, he had already had an encounter with these guys. And I want you to see that. We're going to go over to John's Gospel. You can say goodbye to Mark. We're going to wrap up here real quick. In John's Gospel, the first chapter, all the way down into verse 35. We're going to see Jesus has an encounter with these same guys before he calls them. And I think I want you to see something that's very important. Again, John chapter 1, verse 35, we read, again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, this is John the Baptist, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, speaking of John the Baptist, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. A couple things I want you to see here. Number one, just by hearing John the Baptist speak about Jesus, moves in these guys' hearts to follow Christ. They immediately just wanted to follow Jesus. There was something about this Messiah, this Lamb of God, and this one that has been chosen to come. And they immediately wanted to follow after Jesus. How important it is for you and for me to make sure we're always following Jesus. Not following new fads, not following new trends, that we're following Christ. Where we're following the Lord, that true heart of a follower of Christ, to mimic him and to be like him. And so here we see even Andrew just saying, Peter, you got to come see. We found the Messiah. We found him. And Jesus says to them, as they first follow him, notice again it says in verse 38, right in the middle in red letters, what do you seek? I love this question that Jesus gives to these two followers. What is it you're seeking? Isn't that the question Jesus would ask every single one of us this morning? What is it you're seeking? When Jesus looks at your life and looks at you and asks that question, what do you seek? What is it in your heart? What is it you're looking for? What is that that you want either God to do for you or Jesus to show you or a new opportunity to open up? Every single one of you has an envelope and a note card. Note piece of paper, and we handed these to you because we want you to answer that question. We want you to write on your piece of paper, when Jesus asks you today, this morning, what do you seek? I want you to answer that on that piece of paper. On the envelope, I want you to write your address, your mailing address. And 1 year from now, we're going to mail these back to you. And I want you to look back at the year that God has given you between now and January of 2018. And open this note and read what God spoke to you a year earlier. And see, what is it that you want God to do? What is it you are seeking the Lord for your life this year? Let's close our service in prayer. Ask the worship team to come forward. Heavenly Father, we thank you, first and foremost, for the Word of God that speaks so clearly to us. We thank you for these men that you called, Lord, as examples for us to truly invest and restore not only our own lives, Lord, but the lives of others. Lord, I thank you for each and every person here this morning and who've taken the time to write down on that notepad a personal letter to themselves. And God, I pray that the thing that they're seeking, that you would begin to reveal to them and provide for them. I pray that this would be a blessing to their hearts and a blessing to you. We're excited, Lord, to live out these days and live out this year under your care and under your direction. So let us go into this world and see and do amazing things for you. Let us be strong as believers. Let us be confident in the place that we are, trusting that, Lord, you'll move us when you're ready to move us. So continue to bless our lives. Continue to bless this church. Move as only you can move in and through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.